The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
I do want to go to our guest because, according to him and his book, The Kim Kardashian Principle, social media stars aren't just celebrity flotsam. They can teach us about transparency and marketing and different things. Dubbed the world's leading authority on celebrity branding, Jitendra Sedev says that Kim Kardashian West has democratized and redefined what it means to be talented. Jitendra, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Ryan.
I'm intrigued a little bit about the description somebody wrote about you as the love child of TMZ and The Economist. What does that... Can you give us a sort of...
I like that. I actually want a love child too. I mean, who doesn't want a love child?
Tell us about your background, if you would, but to put you in context for our listeners.
So my area is around celebrity branding. So I understand celebrities in an intelligent way. I do a lot of research around celebrities and just understand their impact on the world, really.
Yes, and with that in mind, you kind of describe in your book the changing face of celebrity. Now, today is Kim Kardashian's 39th birthday, as you well know.
Happy birthday, Kim.
What is a Kim Kardashian?
You know, a Kim Kardashian is a new world leader, a cultural force to be reckoned with, somebody who is fearless and unashamed and unapologetic and everything that all the kids and adults today need to be in the social media reality.
You're very drawn to her. She has 62.1 million followers on Twitter. She has 149 million followers on Instagram. She is a phenomenon. Can you get to the heart of why?
Yes, I think it's because she is showing us a new world of living, you know, a new way of living, a new way of being. I mean, a lot of celebrities that use social media today have Kim Kardashian to thank for that. And I think that we're all taking our cues on, okay, how do we actually integrate, you know, Instagram and social media into our lives? How do we integrate technology into our lives and live a new way in which we can actually just commoditize ourselves and be ourselves and not have to work and then, you know, play? We can sort of do it all together.
So she's, you know, some people would say, oh, it's all a bit vacuous. I mean, she's just she hasn't achieved anything, hasn't done anything. But then you break it down and say, no, wait a minute. And you take a great backronym with the word selfie. And I like this because obviously selfie is the great obsession that one and all tends to have in the modern age. But you've taken each letter from that word to apply it as a the Kardashian principle. Could you take us through it? Would you mind?
Yes. I mean, without boring you, you're going through six of them. But, you know, many of the sort of rules are SELFIE stands for an acronym for surprise, expose, lead, flaws, intimate, and execute. And definitely read the book if you want more details on that. But they're very much counterintuitive rules. You know, like before we were told to aim for perfection, but now we should be aiming for imperfection. You know, before we were told to compromise in order to fit in, that's what good people do. But now the people who actually you own their uniqueness and stand out are the people who are getting ahead. So there are lots of sort of like, these are the six shifts. Selfie are the six shifts in the way we need to think in order to sort of break through today and in order to really be true to ourselves and be authentic. You know, authenticity is about being brave enough to live your life on your terms and in your own way. You know, it's not about living up to somebody else's standards of perfection.
Yeah, you're right that she built her fortune on one, brackets, literally, close bracket, massive flaw, her well-endowed derriere, turning it into a multi-million dollar asset. And she took her suburban sensibilities and lack of education and reframed them as modern sophistication and glamour. And most notoriously, she used her sex tape, which she strongly denies she leaked, as a springboard to overnight fame and lasting success. I mean, are you in awe of her, or are you just greatly, do you just greatly admire her?
You know, it's sort of interesting because I admire what she represents, you know, and I think that's what the book is about. That's why the book is called The Kim Kardashian Principle.
Sure.
So, you know, I think that she really is a role model. And, you know, I was in Ukraine the other day and somebody said to me, well, do you want your children to be like that? And I was like, absolutely, I want my children to be like that. So in that sense, I value her value system. I admire her unabashedness and her bravery.
You see, that's the funny thing, because all the millions of people that follow her online or what have you, You make the argument that she is out on her own, and she's almost a kind of iconoclastic in that sense, and yet all the followers kind of want to look like her, and then that kind of defeats the argument about being your individual self.
Well, you know, I mean, disruption is a ongoing process. So at one stage, you know, when you disrupt something and you do something different, and then everybody starts copying you, and then it's going to become a convention, and then there's going to be somebody else, or, you know, the same person who comes and disrupts again. So,
yes,
you know, constant change is a good thing. So, so I think that's sort of how I'd answer that one.
Okay. Yeah, I like what you were saying, and because I totally agree with you about the point that people are bored with perfection. And that flaws are revolutionary.
Isn't it boring?
Yeah, it is. I couldn't agree with you more.
It's boring.
And we kind of tried to tap into this a couple of years ago in a show that we do at Christmas time, but in terms of children, and that the children that we brought onto the TV were kids that mightn't have got picked for the team in school. Much more interesting children than the kind of complete all-rounders who are interesting in their own right, but flaws are more intriguing.
They're far more intriguing, and I think we all have a responsibility today to sort of try and redefine what is appealing. And part of that is including diversity, is being more inclusive to either the children who weren't, you know, chosen for the team, or the people who didn't necessarily fit the stereotypical mainstream ideal of what it means to be beautiful.
Yes.
And, you know, the more we do that, the more we expand our definition and you know, just make the world a more interesting place, I suppose. I mean, look what's happening to Victoria's Secret. You know, the parent company Victoria's Secret has tanked big time because of the fact that they have not embraced body diversity for women. They have sort of carried on projecting one ideal of beauty that no one's really buying into anymore.
I didn't know that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That intrigues as well, because for a lot of people, particularly parents of, say, teenagers, they might be worried about so-called influencers who are all about the body beautiful, the correct eyebrows, the correct contouring, the correct, and now I'm spoofing here because I'm just kind of gleaning bits of conversation here from the back of the car, but they kind of want to look a bit like that, which is again back to that boring ideal. So there is that element of it as well, isn't there?
Well, there are some influences that certainly draw their crowds because they project a sort of very sort of photoshopped, very stylized image. That's okay if that's what they stand for and that's what they believe in and that's what they're drawn towards, but there are many other influences that don't. So I think it's really very much about giving yourself permission to, on social media in particular, to present the image that you want to present and not to be coerced by what other people are thinking or what they're saying. I mean, if you look at the statistics, over 40% of youth and adults on social media have experienced cyberbullying.
Mm.
So it gives us all the more of a reason to just sort of like stick to our guns and move ahead with what you want to do in your way and on your own terms.
What about the idea of, you write about that once upon a time film studio or TV program or a talent agency would make you famous. You had to go through these routes traditionally. And now social media has thrown all of that to the wind.
Yes, and thank goodness for that. You know, social media has very much democratized fame. Like, obviously, living in Hollywood now for over 15 years, it's, you know, it still can be very frightening how only certain types of people are even in the running. You know, other people are immediately disqualified based on how you look. So somebody like Kim Kardashian would have never been a sex symbol in Hollywood had it not been for social media. You know, she's not blonde-haired, she's not blue-eyed, she doesn't have a particular body shape, she doesn't look like Reese Witherspoon, Jennifer Aniston, Renee Zellweger, who are all very much interchangeable. So that's really where social media came in. She sort of stylized herself and she busted that norm and busted that category and redefined it with her own uniqueness, with her Armenian heritage, you know, with her brunette looks, her darker looks. And that's really inspiring for a lot of people. And people can do that not just in sort of definitions of beauty. They can do that in all sorts of different ways. I mean, you know, social media media and YouTubers have redefined what it means to be talented. Modern fame has redefined what it means to be talented. Before, you could only be talented if you, played the violin or went to drama school. Now, guess what? Taking a selfie is a talent. Taking a belfie is a talent. Do you know what a belfie is, Ryan?
What's a belfie?
A belfie is a selfie of your behind in the mirror.
Oh, right, okay. Well, so that's I didn't know the answer to that question.
Yes, that's a legit talent today, especially when you become a Kylie Jenner and build a billion-dollar business off of it. Yes. Build up your following, sell them lip liner, and that has now become a legit talent.
And is it depressing to think that taking a selfie is a talent? Would that not make you sad?
I think some people are going to be incredibly depressed by it, but other people are going to be incredibly liberated and excited by the idea that we're broadening talent. So absolutely, I think old school people, I graduated from Oxford and Harvard, and I think we have a very different definition of talent. But even those institutions now, believe it or not, are sort of broadening and saying, you know what, yeah, it's not just the kid who goes to Oxford or Trinity who's talented, it's the kid who also stays in their bedroom, plays video games, films themselves playing video games, edits those videos, puts them up on YouTube, builds their business, and becomes PewDiePie. That is a form of talent, yes.
PewDiePie versus Taylor Swift, which you kind of look into that in terms of the new breed of celebrity versus, Taylor Swift relatively new, but they're two hugely successful phenomena, but doing very different things. And when I was a kid, I would have watched TV shows on a Saturday morning and what have you. And now the kids will be looking at YouTube and YouTubers. YouTubers are essentially the new rock stars in some ways.
YouTubers are the new rock stars. In 2014, I gave an interview to Variety magazine, in which I said people like PewDiePie, KSI, Smosh are more influential than people like Brad Pitt, Jennifer Lopez, Taylor Swift amongst youth audiences. And even at that stage, people really hadn't even heard of who these people were.
Yes.
But they are hands down the bona fide and new celebrities amongst younger audiences, because the way youth audiences consume data, the way they watch celebrities, what sort of content they want to engage in, is very much less about what's happening on the silver screen and even on television, and what's actually happening on computer screens.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I was fascinated about the idea of the CEO, the big leader of a company, Elon Musk, Richard Branson, Mark Zuckerberg. I don't know if it was ever thus, to be honest with you, but somewhere along the way, the CEO, who normally probably used to sit in an old office with a big oak table and call you in one by one, is now replaced by these showmen, essentially. I mean, it's like P.T. Barnum with a big wallet.
Brian, isn't it so true? So essentially, fame has infiltrated so many different stratas of society and so many different areas of business that really it wasn't allowed to go to before. And in that way, it's really become the holy grail. So before, these CEOs, really, there was no showboating allowed. They weren't allowed to go out. They weren't allowed to be the stars. If you had the one or two person who did that, like a Richard Branson, they would be laughed at. You remember how people used to laugh at Richard Branson way back when? They'd be like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
But now, when you look at some of the studies, there was a Harvard Business School survey, at least, that was done about sort of like 7 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. And most people want to be that sort of celebrity CEO now, you know. And the reason is that over 70% of youth audiences today want to connect with brands, with CEOs, with leaders on a values level. So you can't play the party line anymore. You've got to come clean and let us know what your values are. Do you care about the environment?
Yeah.
Do you care about Black Lives Matters? Do you care about gun control? Tell me what your values are and let me decide whether I want to align with you or not.
There's a program called Gogglebox. I'm not sure if you've heard of it or seen it, but people watch TV shows from their couches, and we watch them watching TV. That's essentially the premise of it. There's an Irish version, there's a UK version. And I'm fascinated by it, because I'm dying to know what real people think of TV as opposed to people I work with, because they're TV people, so it's a different take. But what I've noticed throughout is that regardless of the background of the person, education of the person, whatever you call it, there's one theme that runs throughout all their reactions, and that is they can smell spoof from 1,000 miles away. They can smell it when somebody's faking, and they're brilliant at calling it out from their couch.
Isn't that true?
Yes.
I mean, and especially, and the kiddos today in particular, I don't want to call them kiddos, but the, you know, the Gen Z, the youngsters,
sure.
in particular, they have been raised in a very different environment from, you know, the environments that we've been raised in. They, you know, we now have the first generation Gen Z who doesn't know a world without a smartphone. That's number one. But the level of access, the level of transparency, the authenticity detectors, the BS detectors that these people have are inbuilt from the get-go. So, you know, I would watch, you know, an ad about, let's say, for example, American Express when I was young and think that, okay, if I get an American Express gold card, it really will complete my life. Like, I would believe that, right? And that would be something I would work towards. But now you try and do that. You try and play that TV ad to a child and see whether that's aspirational for them anyway. And it's not going to be, because they've seen their parents do the no pain, no gain. They've seen their parents go to all the right places, universities, get the right jobs, and still be unhappy, and their lives are still, you know, and still sort of divorce and still do all of that. So they're a real savvy, intelligent generation. They're not narcissistic, they're not stupid, they're not entitled, and all the labels that we want to give them, they're actually super clever.
Yeah, it's you're right, and I always say that every generation has an Elvis pelvis to criticize, and you know that the millennials will grow up to be another older generation. They'll worry about the bad guys from before. You know, there's always someone to give out about or point to.
Yeah, no, absolutely, always.
Now,
difference.
Isn't it funny? Difference. Sorry, exactly. Back to clearly where we started. Last point or two, if I may. One is that we are talking about young people and phones and online and influence, and yet probably the most famous Twitter user on the planet Earth is in his 70s, you know, and is loud and is breaking every rule that was ever written,
yes.
for better or for worse. So this is not a generationally exclusive bailiwick.
Definitely not. And you see how older generations, you actually see how parents are taking a back seat now, because the younger generations are actually teaching them how to survive in this sort of, you know, do you know what I mean? So this new reality.
Yes.
So I think that, you know, the clever generations, you know, across a whole span are going to be looking to immerse themselves, you know, get an Instagram account if you don't have one, get on Twitter, because it's not just something you do, it's something you are, you know? So, and you don't really understand that until you actually just immerse yourself in it and start doing it. So anyone can do it, but certainly the cues are coming from, the majority of cues are coming from a particular generation, yeah.
Well, Jitendra, thank you for your time this morning. It's very nice to talk to you, and good luck. You're in UCD tonight at 6:15.
That's right, UCD, 6:15 p.m. Sign up. Love to see you guys all there. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, great to talk to you. Good luck. Enjoy yourself tonight. And
thanks
for your time this morning. Nice
Thank
to talk
you,
to you.
Right.
That's Jitendra Sadev, and you can follow him, would you be surprised, on Twitter, of course. And his book is the one we were talking about this morning. It's called The Kim Kardashian Principle.